This week I was visiting with my wife down at, what's the name of the store, where I got my tie? TJ Maxx. I got me a pink tie. I'm going to wear it the first of every month as a reminder. You know, I'm excited about our new church building project, and you know, sometimes the wheels turn slower than we would like, but let me encourage you to be faithful with your commitments, and by God's grace, this will become a reality. I'm happy to be with you this morning. Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible, and I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, You have heard our desire that we would be like Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that You would just draw nigh unto each one of us, attend to our needs, to Your honor and glory. And let us be faithful as we journey the highway of life. And again, thank You for being with me today as I bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My sermon title this morning, Walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. I want to look at two individuals in Scripture. And as we look at them, I know that they will give us confidence that we can not just talk the talk, but we could walk the walk. In 1 and 2 Kings, we are introduced to two individuals, Elijah and Elisha. They are examples for us. Both of these men loved God, and they walked with Him. Israel, let me give you just a little background to what was happening as far as Elijah and Elisha, time of ministry. Israel, under the leadership of Solomon, had reached the zenith as far as glorifying God. They had reached their zenith. But at the weaning leadership of Solomon, we find that because he was led astray by his wives, he began to identify with these idolatrous practices. He began to worship these idols, and as a result of his leadership, the kingdom, I shouldn't say just Solomon, but as a result of Israel's turning away from God, the kingdom was divided between the north and the south. The 10 tribes became Israel, were in the north, and then in the south was Judah. Elijah, his name means Yahweh is God. Elisha means God is salvation. From Patriarchs and Prophets, page 127, it says, Elijah was a type of the saints who will be living on earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus, and who will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump without tasting death. Now, folks, if you're watching the news, if you're listening what's happening, if you're reading the papers today, you're going to see that something is happening. Surely we're living in the last days. I believe the United States has had a glorious history. But I was disappointed yesterday when I heard the news about them. You know, I just can't comprehend that someone would do what they did. Scientists, the government allowed them to go into one of our neighboring countries to the south and inflict people with sexual transmitted diseases. They allowed the men, the black men in Alabama, to have syphilis and gonorrhea. They had penicillin but would not use it on them. They said they were carrying out a test on these people there. Was it Nicaragua? Any of you others heard that on the news? Guatemala? Well, they had the new drug, penicillin, that came out, and they said that it was an experiment to see if this penicillin was going to work. And it just boggles my mind that a government could be so corrupt and they would do something like that. Now, this happened back in the 1940s, and I want to tell you, folks, it hasn't got any better. And surely when we see what's happening in the world today, it's the last days. Jesus is coming soon. Elijah was a type of the saints who will be living on the earth at the time of the second coming. And folks, it is possible by God's grace that this generation, some of us who are here this morning, will experience what Elijah experienced, being translated to heaven without seeing death. Isn't that exciting? Elisha, who was to succeed Elijah, and you know the story. God had spoken to Elisha and the disciples of Elijah at the school of the prophets, telling them that Elijah was soon to be taken to heaven by a whirlwind. You can read it in 2 Kings. In fact, open your Bibles to 2 Kings, because we're going to spend a little time there. The whole history, let me just get back before we get there. Let me get to 2 Kings here. Before I speak about, go on about Elijah. The history, there's a 400-year history that is told about Israel and is recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and in 1 and 2 Chronicles. And it tells of the people. After God brought them out of Egypt, took them into the promised land, but instead of following God, they continued to murmur, and they got into this worship of idolatry, and it seems like they could never shake it. Although Israel reached a zenith as far as doing that which was right under Solomon's reign, the kingdom was divided. And the next king to come on the scene was a fellow by the name of Ahab. And Ahab was the worst king that ever lived. The next 20 kings, 19 of them did only that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is in the northern kingdom. 20 kings. But 19 of them did that which was evil. There was only one good king after Solomon, and that fellow was by the name of Jehu. Now, in the southern kingdom in Judah, it wasn't a whole lot better. They too had 20 kings that ruled over them. But we have 8 or 9 of these kings. As their leadership out as king, they were good, but they fell after worshiping the Baals, the gods of these heathen nations. And this was where Elijah and Elisha began their ministry, actually with the beginning of Ahab's rule. This is when Elijah began his ministry. Now, in 2 Kings 2, verse 1, Elisha's ministry is about finished. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah to heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel together. Several times it seems that there were difficult situations in the schools of the prophets, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Stay here while I go down to attend to the problem." In fact, the fact remained that Elijah, you see, was going to be translated, and it seems like Elijah did not know when it was going to happen, but God had spoken to the sons of the prophets. Elisha knew that he was going to be translated, and those at the school of the prophets knew that he was going to be translated, but Elijah seems like he didn't know anything about this. So he says to Elisha, "I'm going down to Gilgal to take care of a problem. You stay here." But he says, as the Lord liveth and as you liveth, no, I'm going to go with you." Now just follow what is happening. Down in verse 3 it says, "Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he says, 'Yes, I know, but keep silent. Don't let him know it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Jericho.' But he says that the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?' So he answered, 'Yes, I know, but keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan." Now, with sanctified imagination, I want you to picture what is happening right here. It seems like, now, the schools of the prophets, they were the schools that both Elijah and Elisha were supporting. They were working with these young men, they were teaching them, and they were guiding them. Elijah was a person that he took... How can I say it? He took no guff, is that a good word, from anyone. He told it like it was, and he rebuked the people of Israel because of their wickedness. And really, he wasn't a very popular prophet because of the way he would speak out against their idolatrous practices. So here we are. Here seems like those at the school of the prophets, they knew that today Elisha was going to be translated. They even followed them down. There was a group of them went ahead of them and met them there at the Jordan River. And they spoke to Elisha, and Elisha tells them to keep silent. But here's what happens. As they come down to the Jordan River, he takes off his jacket, his mantle, that says. He wraps it around his iron, and he reaches down, and he hits the water, and it just parts, and they walk across the Jordan on the dry land. And as they were walking on the other side of the Jordan, the sons of the prophets, or those 50 from the school of the prophets, they stayed on the other side of the Jordan. As they walked on, Elijah said to Elisha, "What would be your request when I am gone?" And Elisha had a simple request, that your spirit, a double portion of your spirit, would fall upon me. And Elijah says, "Well, if you're around when I leave, it's a hard thing, but it would be possible. But if you're not here when I leave, you will not receive it." And it seems like in the next couple of verses as we read, they continued to fellowship together as they walk. The next thing they see is the chariots of fire. And Elisha is taken up in a whirlwind. And as he was going, it lets go his mantle and it drops to the earth. And Elisha receives that double portion of the Holy Spirit. Elisha walks back and he takes that same mantle and he bends down and he smites the water and it parts and he walks across on dry land. When Elisha began his ministry, because of what was happening in Israel, he wasn't very popular. No doubt he became the talk around the dinner table about how Elijah is gone now. What's Elisha going to do? What kind of a prophet is he going to be? And in fact, they scoffed at him, no doubt, at the dinner table, because when Elisha came back and he was going through the town of Bethel, the young men of the city came out and began to mock him. And Elisha didn't stand for it. He called upon God and he cursed these young people. These youth, they were jeering Elijah, and he says, making fun of him, "Go up, old bald head, go up," as Elijah ascended to heaven. And Elijah called down the judgments of God upon them, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of these young people. Had Elijah allowed the mockery to pass unnoticed, he would have continued to be ridiculed and reviled by the rabble gang. And his mission to instruct and save in a time of grave national peril might have been defeated. This one incident of terrible severity was sufficient to command respect throughout his life. For 50 years he went in and out the gate of Bethel and to and fro from the land, from the city to city, passing through crowds of idle, rude, desolate youth. But none mocked him or made light of his qualifications as the prophet of the Most High. Now, Elijah was his mentor. You know what one of the last acts Elijah did? Remember, Ahaz became king. He fell through the lattice and hurt himself. And he said to his servants, "Go down to what was the name of the place? Oh, go down to Ekron and inquire of Beelzebub, will I live?" And as the servants were going down, Elijah met them. And he says, "Is there not a God in Israel that you would inquire of? Why would you go down to Beelzebub? Go back and say this to the king." And when they came back, they says, "Well, who was this man? What did he look like?" And they identify him that he was a hairy man. And I don't know what that exactly means. Maybe he had a garment that was made of sheepskin, goatskin. Or maybe he just had hair all over him. I don't know. Don't tell us. And the king recognized who he was, that he was Elijah the Tishbite. He was the one who gave Ahab so much grief. Remember, Elijah, one of the first things Elijah did when he began his ministry was pray to the Lord that there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And when it was over, he prayed again and the rains came. Then he went up to Mount Carmel and remember the sacrifices, and now the fire fell on his, and they put to death 450 of the Baal priests. And Elijah had a tremendous ministry. But one of the last things he did was when this king, because of his arrogance. He sent his servants out, a captain out, with 50 of his men, and he ordered Elijah to come. And Elijah says, "If I be the servant of the Lord, let fire fall from heaven and devour you." And zoom. Fire came and wiped out that captain and 50 of his men. Word went back to the king, and the king sent 50 more. And they ordered him to come. The king says, "Come." And Elijah says, "If I be the man of God, let fire fall from heaven and destroy me." And a ball of fire fell and consumed all them. And the king sent out 50 more, but this captain, he didn't come and order Elijah to come. He came and fell on his knees before him and begged that Elijah would spare his life. And of course, now he put what this shows. I was reading the commentary on it. The reason that these 100 men were put to death is the fact that this king had audacity to say that he was the one that was ruler over everything. But God is ruler over everything and everyone. And when in humility that captain came, he went back and attended to that king as a representative of the Creator God. So Elijah, he began his ministry by taking an example from his mentor, Elijah. He began his ministry by showing that God's anointed should not be mocked. Two she-bears came and took the life or mauled these 40 children, these 40 youth. You know, young people only repeat what they hear at home. Isn't that right? So if you have the pastor for dinner, be sure the kids is going to speak about it. Elisha was an educator. He knew about agriculture and combined healing with his teaching. He was what we would call a medical minister, a medical missionary. Elisha was different from Elijah in that he didn't present himself in such as an authoritative figure, but he worked among the people to teach them, to guide them, to turn away from these heathen practices, where Elijah, you know, he pronounced, you know, from on high or from the pulpit that what they were doing was wrong. But Elisha, he went out and began to work with the people. Let me share with you some of the adjectives that described Elisha. He was steadfast. He was unwavering. He was persistent. He was committed. He was dedicated, but he was firm. Elisha feared God. Let me share with you some of the things that Elisha did in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maiden has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty the vessels. Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went in from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your son shall live on the rest." That was one of the first, great thing, I guess, that Elisha did. There was no social security check to take care of that lady. God was their security. And folks, we too have to learn that we have to trust in God, because one of these days this economy is going to collapse and we're going to have nothing. Your money will be no good. But God will hear your prayers and answer you, and He will sustain you. In 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17 is the story of the Shunammite woman. And I know that the children love these stories, and we usually tell these stories to the children. But folks, I want you to understand something, that God can be trusted. If God says He's going to do something, you believe it. Put your trust in Him. You know, salvation might be free, but discipleship is going to cost everything that you have. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you know that you will, like Elijah, there's going to be trials and tribulations that's going to come into your life. Another story is told in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's about Naaman, that military captain from Syria. He was one of the brightest men in the Syrian army. He was the one who went up into Israel, and that's where that little maid was taken captive and brought down, and she became a slave to his wife. And then Naaman comes down with leprosy, and there was no cure for leprosy. And little maid told about the prophet up in Israel, what this prophet could do. And she, his wife, talked Naaman into going up and seeing this prophet. Then the king of Syria writes a letter to the king of Israel. And Israel this king is absolutely shaking in his boots, thinking that this king down there, you know, Syria, is going to try to pick a fight with me. The king of Syria had no faith in the prophet Elisha. But Naaman went. He went to see Elisha, but Elisha didn't even come out. The servant did. The servant came back out and says, "You go down there to the Jordan River, you wash 7 times, and you'll be made clean." And you know the attitude he had. He says, "Look, is there not better rivers in Syria?" And he named a couple of them. "There's clean water. Could I not just wash myself there?" And the Naaman's servant said to him, "Well, if he'd asked you to do some difficult thing, you would have done everything to make that a reality. But," he says, "he just asked you a simple thing. Get into the water. Dip yourself 7 times. And grudgingly, I can see Naaman going out into the Jordan River. He could hardly find a place that was deep enough to dip 7 times. He comes down the first time. He comes up. He still has this leprosy. He's full of doubt, and he's grumbling. But the servant says, "Number 3, 4. Five, and all this time Naaman's heart is, you know, he was becoming angry over this whole matter. But on the 7th time, when he came up, he was clean. And he was converted. He gave his heart to Jesus. Church, it's only when you are committed to Jesus that you can do the impossible. And I want to tell you the promises in Scripture. Jesus himself makes the promise. In the last days, he says, greater things than I have done, you will do. And when we look at the things that Jesus did, it just makes our heart glad. He raised the dead. Well, so did both Elijah and Elisha. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, he passed through all towns, and there was nobody was left sick. You know, we have these healing ministries in these days, and they come to town. They don't go near a hospital or anyone that is sick. They try to get the sick to come to them. Now, if I was a prophet of God and I had this wonderful gift, I would visit every hospital in Aiken County, in Augusta, anywhere else, if I had that power. Folks, it's not all about me. It's about God. Elijah and Elisha were men of prayer and moral courage. They both trusted God. They were soul winners. And from our Sabbath school lesson this quarter, as we look at these men and women of old, we can take courage that God will do for us what he did for these people. Story is told about bringing the gospel to the Indians in the United States when it was being settled. The preacher came to this Indian village and he told them about Jesus and the sacrifice that he had made, how he had died for them. And while he was teaching, one of the Indians came forward and he laid down his blanket before the preacher. As the preacher continued the presentation about Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, the Indian came and laid his peace pipe on the blanket. As the preacher continued, the Indian came and laid down his tomahawk. And when he made his final appeal, the Indian came forth and he laid down on the blanket. He gave himself completely to Jesus. And folks, that's what God requires of us, that we are to give ourselves completely to him. We are to be like Elijah. We are to be an Elijah movement. In the book of Malachi, it talks about before Jesus comes, Elijah must come. And I want to tell you that Elijah is in our midst today. Not the physical presence of Elijah, but the Elijah message. Each one of us is to share that message to prepare a people to meet their Creator. And as we go forth, let us lay our lives before Jesus and let him work through us to his honor and glory. What do you say? Amen. Amen.